Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about how educated mortal beliefs interfere with the omnipresence of divine perfection. In this show, we will be discussing the function of living above corporeal sense and keeping conscious awareness in constant relation with the divine. Listen as we explain how and why all healing is the revealing of the truth of being based on degrees of understanding. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and experience the presence of divine law. Swami, the title of today's show is Graduating to a Working Reality System. So I guess let's start off with, what do you think is a feasible working reality system?
Well, I think we've done shows on what we call monetary-based economy, and then we did resource-based economy. And now, what I think a working reality system is a spirit-based economy.
And so when we're talking about a working reality system and divine science, how do those work together?
Well, what we're doing is we're trying to raise the bar of the standard that we live to. That if we accept mortality, if we accept a belief in two powers, good and evil, right and wrong, if we work with duality, we're working with human conjecture, we're working with a limited perception of what is really here. That spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. And what is reporting in our senses is working on contrast. It manifests in half, and it leaves behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. And so any conclusions or opinions that we form based on the testimony of our senses is really working with incomplete information. So a working reality system must have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth as its underlying foundation or principle.
Well, let's talk about some examples of an educated mortal belief. What does that look like?
Well, I think we could start with a lot of the human theories and concepts that we have been socialized with. A simple rule that we might have, like the belief that either fasting or feasting make men better morally or physically, is one of the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, concerning which God said, "Thou shalt not eat of it." So that's a quote from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 220. Line 26. Most of our human beliefs and these concepts and theories that we work with don't originate with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They're working with a belief in matter. And so we're off point, and you can't really, I love that expression from Maine, you can't get there from here. That if we have a belief in matter, then we're kind of lost in this cycle of death and rebirth. And in order for us to find liberation from it, we have to rise above our corporeal senses.
Well, it's interesting that you talked about those things. On a bike ride, I saw a sign in somebody's yard, and on that sign it said, "Science is real." So I think people look at these rules and dietary suggestions and don't eat this because of that, whatever. These are all these science rules. And when I saw that sign that said science is real, I immediately thought, well, divine science is real. What people think is science really isn't real. So I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% that what we're calling science is really material science. It's all of the laws and the rules that are based on human conjecture. In fact, without an understanding of the inclusion of the absolute, all Western sciences fail. Mathematics fails, physics fails. They always get you to some point where all of a sudden they have to include a clause that makes it seem like it proves out scientifically, but it really doesn't. Whereas, like what you say, divine science proves out that it is working with complete information. And in order to really work with divine science, you have to understand yourself spiritually, that you must be able to speak the language of divine mind, which speaks in the absolute. Whereas material science and our Western beliefs work on duality.
So what do you say to somebody who says to you, well, I can touch this table and I know that that's real. So you're saying that that's not real? Or I have a pain in my foot, so how do I overcome what my senses are telling me?
That's exactly what we're learning here now, is that the mind that we have accepted to get us through what we call this life is now being proved to be undependable. And so you can stay in this cycle of death and rebirth where mortal mind is going to define everything for you, and you will wind up again in this cycle of death and rebirth because you're accepting mortality. But if you want to get liberated from that ongoing, ever-ending, never-ending procession of human thought and human belief, then you're going to need something that is not bound by the same rules. And that's where divine science excels.
Now, is that what we mean in our opening when we said that these educated mortal beliefs interfere with the omnipresence of divine perfection? Is that what you just described?
Right. That in order for you to have this revelation, that the revelation requires you to come out of these modes of mortal thought and to accept divine mind as your mind, which means that you must accept spiritual identity. You have to understand that you are whole, you are complete, you are fulfilled now. If you accept that you are a mortal creature, and just like you said, well, I can feel this and I can touch that, then you're in the trap. But if at some point you start to question the limitations that you're experiencing, say, for example, sickness becomes a huge catalyst, suffering, lack, limitation, these are all motivators that would spur somebody on to move beyond what we are calling real today. As we start to explore divine science. And initially, it takes a lot of practice because you're leaving what is safe, familiar, comfortable, and known, and you're embarking on something that is invisible and intangible, and your normal modes of being able to prove things out through your senses have to be left behind. So you have to graduate from corporeal material sense to spiritual sense, which means you're cultivating faith. You're believing in what is invisible and intangible. But I also think it's very important for you to understand that science is backing this now.
Well, I have a question for you, and we talked about this the other day. I was reading some works by Herb Fitch, and he said, in this particular chapter, and he says this quite often, there is no place where God is not. And what you're describing sounds like what he was trying to get across in his works.
Right. Once you start to accept these, what I call working theories, this working reality system, you start to test it, that it's not belief without proof, but there has to be a certain level of trust without reservation. You're working with a demonstrable principle, because spirit testifies with deeds, not words. That was the message of the Christ: heal the sick, reform sinner, raise the dead. It wasn't believe only. This is a principle, it's a law, and that's what we're learning to work with. But it's not an easy catch, because you can't make a silk purse from a sow's ear, and you can't prove divine perfection with a belief in matter. And so at some point, you're going to have to challenge your belief in matter, and eventually you're going to have to let it go if you want to start to demonstrate divine law.
Well, I have a question about the next sentence in our summary, and it says, the function of living above corporeal sense. So what exactly does that mean? What is the function of living above corporeal sense?
The function of living above corporeal sense is really accepting spiritual identity, that you must come out of the belief in duality, the belief in two powers, and you must accept this one divine life as the only life that there is, and therefore it must be my life. That is what gives you a foundation. Now you're working with a principle, the divine idea. I am the expression of an indestructible principle. That's a very different base of operation. The other thing is that once you have gained leverage from the belief in matter and you have accepted spiritual identity, you now start to see that what you are calling matter is really just your thought about what's there. As this understanding starts to reveal itself to you, then you start to gain a reality system, like we're saying, that is way more workable than the old theology, which tells us God made all and is watching over us, but we must die to get our reward. Under it, we believe that God made good and evil, life and death, this world, and watches over our every move. Scripture says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're in a cycle of death and rebirth, pleading for forgiveness of our sins. Really, the only thing that we can do is hope for good luck with that belief system. And so now we have to start to understand that God is all and God is good, and therefore all is good. That gives you a whole different base of operation, and so that anything that does not have these divine qualities is not backed by divine law. It's not real, because spirit is the only self-existent power in this entire universe. I love what's written in the Bible. What God did not make is not made. And so we are learning how to demonstrate this shift in awareness, working with an understanding that life is perfect and that it is spiritual and not material.
Well, it's that time to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to get to the second part of that sentence in their summary. And again, I'll just review the first part. It says that we will be discussing the function of living above corporeal sense. We talked about that. And next, let's talk about and keeping conscious awareness in constant relation with the divine. How do we do that? What does it look like?
I really like what the Yoga Sutras suggest, which is constant restraint of the thought variations and continuous practice of detachment. Most of us are trying to let go of this world and stop thinking, which is impossible. Thought is the number one life-sustaining force, but it is attached to breath initially. And conduct is never the connection. Again, we want to come out of our false educated beliefs here. But in the same way, we also want to understand that we must sow to the spirit, that we want to keep our mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind, this spiritual fact of being, because when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. So we forsake all our modes of mortal thinking, and we let divine mind take over the scientific government of our body and at the same time express itself through us.
But that phrase of keeping conscious awareness in constant relation with the divine, how do we go about doing that?
Well, I think the way that that proves out and why it is so harmonious with the Kriya Yoga Sutras is because divine mind or the word of God does not report in the five sense mind. So the mind that we are accustomed to living out from works on contrast. It works on duality. And so constant control or restraint of the thought variations, because when you make your mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind, you have just risen above corporeal sense because there is no stimulation. Nothing activates the lower mind, the mid mind, or the higher mind. Mortal mind. And so this silence, this stillness really requires that we start to cultivate spiritual sense. And that was the Christ. The Christ is what makes the divine idea intelligible to human consciousness. And so now you're speaking a whole different language, but you're also perceiving the kingdom of heaven. You're perceiving the divine idea. You're not working with the limited concept, the false concept that is being reported in your five senses. So you're working now with the truth and not the error or the false.
Well, let's talk about truth some more, but let's talk about it in regards to healing. So in the summary, we said we were going to explain how and why all healing is the revealing of the truth of being based on degrees of understanding. I think you touched upon this just a little bit in your explanation, but wonder if maybe we could just delve a little bit deeper with that.
Right, because with a spirit-based economy, you start with the truth of being. The divine creation is perfect. It's whole and it's complete. What we are experiencing is just our thought about what it is that is before us. What we want to do is we want to use this truth to correct our thought, and of course, we'll correct our concepts or our appearances or our experiences. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 248. The sculptor turns from the marble to his model in order to perfect his concept. We are all sculptors, working at various forms, molding and chiseling thought. What is the model before mortal mind? Is it imperfection, sorrow, joy, sin, suffering? Have you accepted the mortal model? Are you reproducing it? Then you are haunted in your work by vicious sculptors and hideous forms. Do you not hear from all mankind of the imperfect model? The world is holding it before your gaze continually. The result is that you are liable to follow those lower patterns, limit your life work, and adopt into your experience the angular outline and deformity of matter models. So here, if we continue to accept the testimony of our five senses, then all we can do is continue to demonstrate these imperfections. We can continue to work with finite bad that may eventually become finite good, soon to become finite bad again, which is this endless cycle of death and rebirth. Mary Baker Eddy says here that to remedy this, we must first turn our gaze in the right direction and then walk that way. We must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. Let unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, health, holiness, love, the kingdom of heaven reign within us, and sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear. That by making your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind, which is speaking to you in the absolute, absolute goodness, eternal life, the changeless state of being. And that will correct our thought, which is going to eventually correct our appearances, because what is appearing in our five senses is just our thought.
Well, you had said earlier that conduct is never the connection. And what I think is interesting is that not once in Science and Health does she really talk about conduct. We must be good boys and girls in order for us to go to heaven. And I think that is one of those educated beliefs that we have been brought up with, thinking that good behavior will get us the ultimate kingdom of heaven.
Right, because if we accept spiritual identity, there is no such thing as bad. Remember, like you had said, if God takes up all space and God is absolute goodness, then where is bad? Where is evil? And so there's a reason why she doesn't refer to that, is because in this model, in science that she is teaching and practicing, it doesn't exist.
So I have a question about the quote that you talked about with Mary Baker Eddy. She uses the phrase perfect models in thought. So I'm hoping that maybe we can get a better idea as to what that looks like.
Yeah, well, what we're basically trying to do is we're trying to think with divine mind. We're trying to find that place where our thought is the same as the divine idea. On page 251-15 in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, she says, we must learn how mankind govern the body, whether through faith in hygiene, in drugs, or in willpower. We should learn whether they govern the body through a belief in the necessity of sickness and death, sin and pardon, or govern it from the higher understanding that the divine mind makes perfect. Acts upon so-called human mind through truth. Leads the human mind to relinquish all error, to find the divine mind to be the only mind, and the healer of sin, disease, death. This process of higher spiritual understanding improves mankind until error disappears, and nothing is left which deserves to perish or to be punished. And so basically, what we're looking at here is a way of troubleshooting our behavior. Am I sowing to the flesh? Do I have a belief in matter? Do I have a belief in two powers, or do I sow to the spirit? Do I believe in the one divine life, which is absolute goodness?
When you read that section in that quote, and it says, we should learn whether they govern the body through a belief in the necessity of sickness and death, sin and pardon, or govern it from the higher understanding that the divine mind makes perfect, it kind of reminded me of the concept of this free will that people speak of. I have read that people believe that God has given us the free will to decide if we want to have this belief in matter or do we want this belief in this divine mind.
Yeah, and I think that becomes a crossroads for all of us. But remember that it also says, thy will be done. With a belief in matter or a belief in personal sense, in general, becomes the barrier. That in order for us to really communicate with this divine idea, we have to give up personal sense. We have to give up the belief that we are a finite mortal creature. And we have to accept that we are the expression of this perfection of being. Or I like what she says here, higher spiritual understanding improves mankind until error disappears, and nothing is left which deserves to perish or to be punished, which means that it really dissolves this personal sense of self, that spirit translates everything back into this one divine life. And once we are living out from that understanding of ourselves, that I am the expression, I am the divine idea, I am the reflection of this one divine life, you no longer believe that you're separate from it.
Well, that phrase, higher spiritual understanding, makes me believe that there are different levels of understanding, which I think we touched upon that before. And based on our level of understanding is going to determine how this healing is revealing?
Yeah, I think that's a direct proportion. If you have a little bit of belief, if you have a little bit of faith, if you have a little bit of understanding, then you have just a little bit of truth. And the more truth that you have, the more understanding that you have, then spirit will reveal more and more of this truth. But like we said in the opening, that all healing is just revealing of what is already there. Because matter isn't a something that can be changed or fixed or taken away or added to. Matter is just a concept. It's a thought about what's really here, which is the divine creation. And until we are able to rise above the limitations of living out from corporeal sense and cultivate spiritual sense and accept the Christ and start to see the truth of being, then we can start to demonstrate this divine omnipresence with scientific certainty.
Well, it is about that time. We do have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on the homepage, when you see the fading banner and it comes up with Blog Talk Radio Show, you can click that and that will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then the products tab, by clicking that and then online classes, that directs you to all of the classes that Swami has available for you. So with that, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, again, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the presence of divine law. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.